STL Soccer Talk is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk, the soccer podcast here at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STL Today. com. The voice you're hearing now is that of Tom Timmerman, beat writer for the Post-Dispatch. And the next voice you will hear, unless they edit in a commercial right around now, will be that of my co-host, Beth O'Malley.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Beth. There are some ads that play that we have no control over.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yes.
As like many things that a newsroom doesn't control. Mm-hmm. Advertising is one of them.
Yeah. And so anyway, and if I say any more, I'll get in. And in any case, so right now, the count is at nine games without a win for City SC, which matches the club record.
Which got Carnell fired.
So, ominous clouds are brewing, building, coming up out of the south or something.
I think just one example of how ominous those clouds are is how Celio Pompeu, his entire demeanor during the post-game presser with the media was just so frustrated and. He wasn't upset necessarily, but you could tell he was not his usual self.
The world's happiest man was not. And you know, after any loss is hard for any player.
But it wasn't a loss.
It was a tie. But gosh, that was.
It was a tie that I have to remind myself and you obviously that it was a tie because it felt so much like a loss. And why did it feel like a loss, Tom?
Because it should have been a win, for one. this is to borrow from a decades old headline, City loses to Sporting Kansas City 2-2 should have been the headline.
Should have been the headline. Yeah.
Because when you're up 2-0 and in the 70th minute of a game, that's the time in which a team which has its act together should be able to shut down an opponent and close out that game.
Kill the game, yeah.
And come away with it. And especially when it is your hated cross-state plus rival. And
you're at home.
You're at home, and you haven't won a game in 2 months. If the search for motivation doesn't need to go far, it's like we got to shut this thing down.
And the team was still making attacks on the other goal. I mean, they clearly
they could have made it three.
They were working for that third goal, and they could have gotten it. They had some unlucky touches, and I think at least one strong shot that was unfortunately right at the goalie. But Kansas City, or just Kansas, they were able to capitalize on several set pieces and figure out how to tie that game.
And it's just an amazing stat, and we talked about it in the video and I wrote about it in the paper, that and online, that in the last four games, they have allowed 8 goals in the 70th minute or later.
Right.
And it is just staggering. I mean, and I went through and I broke, I was looking at substitution patterns. Do they come right after subs or before subs? And they've been kind of all over the board on what they are. Sometimes the subs have been made 10 minutes beforehand. And so it's not as though they just brought on new guys and all of a sudden something, actually, it's funny when you think about it, right? We're talking to Roman Berkey after the game, and he was like that same way, which is like, how do you describe what is going on with this team right now?
Yeah,
because this was a game that they should have won, And, you know, you look ahead and you say, well, okay, they played the LA Galaxy on June the 14th. And this is one of the things, is when you are a struggling team and a team like they, like City, at the bottom of the standings, every game looks like a tough game because everybody is ahead of you in the standings and at this point.
It's very true. I mean, everybody's ahead of the standings, except, like, as you were saying, Galaxy is one of the few teams coming up in the near future, that looks easily winnable. But as City has proven, no game that looks easily winnable, even at the 70th minute, is a guaranteed win. So it's at a point where it's like last year when they would score a goal and you and I would sit back and kind of say, all right, well, we got to wait about five minutes before we can really – did they actually score a goal, or is the other team just going to score a goal right after? Are they actually going to win a game? We're not going to know until the final whistle is blown. And that's the way soccer can be. But as you said, this team has repeatedly given up those late goals. And I don't know that Melberg's response to that stat holds true very well. He wants to point to fitness level and some focus as well. And certainly focus has got to be part of this issue. But I don't know that you can necessarily point to fitness level at this point in the season to talk about why this is happening.
Yeah, you're almost halfway through the season. They've been playing soccer since mid-January.
Yes.
I mean, and we now sit here in the middle of May. So that's been 4 months since they opened camp. So that's plenty of time for everybody. And
the players who so far, at least, have returned from injury are not necessarily those defensive players who are the back line of the defense and the last stop before Berkey. So I don't know that – I mean, certainly injury could factor into this issue in terms of the injuries on the back line, those center back roles. But I don't know that the fitness is part of it.
Yeah, it's confounding in so many ways. And, you know, yes, there are guys coming back from injuries, but it's some of these guys have been playing all year. And if you can't get 90 minutes out of them, then that's – it's an issue. And even guys like Ostrak or Pompeo, who are coming back from injuries, it's one thing to come back from an injury to where your game is as good as it was when you got hurt. But it's another thing to be able to just play soccer for 90 minutes.
Right.
You should still be able to do that.
Yes.
I mean, it may be a while before your skills have, and your ball touches are every bit as good. But
yes.
So we say this, in the aftermath of a City being up 2-0 in the 70th, I've become an authority on this, having just covered the Blues, who were up 2 goals with 2 minutes to go against Winnipeg.
We were in the press box or in the press room because we had quite a bit of time between the end of the game and when they started coming into the room for the interviews. I think there was a team come to Jesus meeting maybe going on, where the press, we're chatting amongst ourselves, and that game came up. Like, we have seen St. Louis teams do this before.
It was 36 minutes between the end of the game and when Melberg hit the interview room. And during that time, apparently, Roman Berkey led session on what's going on with this team. Berkey was back for that game.
Yeah.
Henry Kessler returned in that game.
Yes.
We may see Chris Durkin and Edward Leuven playing on Saturday. I don't know that either of them are ready to go 90 minutes.
Right.
And even Henry Kessler, who played 15 minutes in that game, was like, I'm not sure if I'm, if we're ready to go 90. We'll see, because it's a fairly quick turnaround.
It is a quick turnaround. It's a Wednesday to Saturday.
He hasn't been on the field all that long. But it's where they need to do this, because you look at the schedule now, and Minnesota, which is in third place in the Western Conference, who they play twice, because then they have an Open Cup game,
right.
and that will be a probably I think you'll see the first team on Saturday, and then
in MLS
you'll see
play.
A totally different roster on Wednesday for the Open Cup.
Right.
And then they get Colorado, which is played well at times, is not playing. Colorado actually has a five-game winless streak right now.
Okay.
But then San Jose, which is good, at Portland, which will be a tough one. And then they get the LA Galaxy.
Right.
So that's, so City is at nine games without a win. That's the second longest. Fortunately for them, the LA Galaxy are plodding along and have yet to win a game this year.
You're
in what an incredible event.
I mean, yeah, in your reaction to their score line against the Philadelphia game on Saturday was you know, if MLS is going to MLS, I think that game may have been it. You were stunned.
I was. The Galaxy went up 2-0. It looked like, okay, they're going to finally break this thing. And then Philly gets two to tie it. And then they, in the 96th minute, they get the winner.
And Carnell rejoiced.
Yes. Yeah.
Because let's not forget, that's where he is now.
Yeah. Atlanta's winless in seven, Colorado's winless in five, but you know, City's nine, and it probably goes for all of these teams that you look at in a nine game winless streak or anything like that. There are going to be that was a missed opportunity. There's probably none of these teams don't have nine game losing streaks. There have been ties, and the most in a row. I mean, City lost four in a row to start this thing off, and you know, it was since then. You know, they've got two losses and three ties. So things are turning around there. They've got three ties, but they can't. And Melberg said it when we talked to him on Thursday. I said, you know, every game now is a must-win game for us. Until future notice, and until something has changed, until if they win three out of five, I could say now everything's not quite as, you know. But so right now, these are must-win games because they've got to turn it around.
And that, as a player, I'm certain that that's even more pressure than usual and not necessarily the best playing environment. It's not a fun playing environment. And not that they have to have fun, but it does seem like teams that are having fun see success.
Yeah.
And this is a team that has had no fun at all in quite some time.
No, they were having fun up until about the 70th minute.
Right.
I mean, you know, Celio Pompeo was then he was talking smack to Casey players.
His mouth didn't stop moving. and unfortunately, that, you know, led to some moments on the field that probably didn't help City a whole lot. I'm not pointing a finger at Pompeo specifically. Mm-hmm. I'm saying a lot of the emotions on this team, you're seeing it on the field. You're seeing that frustration on the field.
Yeah. So they're still searching. You know, the back line could start, you know, Kessler is back. Mm-hmm. Nielsen is back. Mm-hmm. You know, do they finally get their top three offensive, you know, defensive guys in place?
Right.
You know, we've seen that they need to have Celio Pompeo on the field. He did not play in the previous two MLS games.
Mm-hmm.
Was back in the lineup for this one. And Melberg again acknowledged, look, we got to change things. You know, we can't keep putting out this, you know, the same guys and expecting the, you know, different results. And I mean, I was surprised when they put out the same starting 11 against San Diego that they had against Seattle.
It was like,
the Seattle game worked so well.
Yeah.
You're going to come back with the same guys?
Exactly. That may not have been the game to emulate, guys. And Pompeu on the field, as you've said over and over, I feel a little bit bad. I do feel like I keep saying, well, we've been saying this the whole time, but Pompeu brings a different level of play and a different level of skill that other players on the field don't have in that same position. So.
Yeah.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
They need the offense. That's something. And offense has been, you know, looking just at goal, I mean, in their not counting the Open Cup game, two goals, one goals, one goal, two goals. So, I mean, that's 6 goals in 4 games, which, you know, it's not great.
It's not great, but winnable.
Yeah, I mean, and there were 2 games in there that they should have won, both LAFC and Sporting KC. They should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego, they could have gotten a tie out of. I mean, that was one I thought was heading for a 0-0 tie. Seattle, they gave up late goals. It was 4-1. I don't think they really, even when they were ahead in that game, wasn't it? But, you know, when you have wins there that are easily accessible, you got to get them. And,
yep.
You know, if they beat LAFC, that's the kind of game that changes the view of how you look at things. But right now, you know, Melberg said it on Thursday, like, look, you know, I know how this works. I know that the job of the coach is to win games. And yeah. So he knows and I don't know when it is. And I don't know if it's 10, if it's 12. I don't know how bad it would have to get. Or if there's any point in which Fansteel is saying, look, this is a transition. But it's not a transition year. I mean, this is, you know, this is not a transition period.
Right.
They got to win games.
Right. If last year was the transition year, this year is the you stick it out and grit your teeth year.
I mean, they did not do much in the winter transfer window because Fansteel said, I got it all done last summer. This is the roster. These
right.
are the guys. We have a few spots to fill in, but we got the good players. We got Toyert and we got Hartle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Kessler in the train. We got these guys, and this is who we can build around. And we saw it at the end of last season, and it is just not
clicking.
And some of it is, yes, that last, you know, the last 20, and whether it's mentally that they can't keep focused for 90 minutes. I mean, because you look at the set piece that they score on where mm-hmm. it's a long free kick in and the guy jumps over everybody, basically. Everyone
yeah.
else, everyone on City is basically firmly planted to the ground
yeah.
and leaps in the air and puts it in. And, you know, and on the other goal, they work a 2-on-1, you know,
yeah,
give and go.
A really nice give and go. And it beats the defense.
And you know, Akil Watts was kind of there in the middle of it, and Berkey said afterwards, look, it wasn't the first time they tried it, you know, and we, you know.
We should have defended against it better.
Yeah.
And all of that is true. And yeah.
it's a challenging time. And almost to make it worse is that the games just keep coming right now. This is a bad time because there's no time for them really to work on it because,
right.
you know, they played a game on Saturday. They do regen work on Sunday, and Monday off. Tuesday, you know, you're now in a game day prep.
Right.
I mean, you can't have long practice sessions at this time of year because you're playing games
You're
twice
barely
a week.
Recovering from
yeah.
the game before. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a good time to be in this hole. And there's not, like, what little light was at the end of the tunnel a couple of weeks ago
mm-hmm.
is now receded even further.
Yeah.
They're just way in the dark. And I think our, unfortunately, as the presser showed, they're feeling it. Like, mm-hmm. they're really starting to feel the pressure of this and feel the frustration of it as much as all of them would want to say, oh, we just put it behind us.
Yeah.
They really got to put it behind them.
They do. And, yeah, Minnesota will be a challenge. And, yeah, and also, I mean, the depth comes into play now because
right.
with all these injuries, they don't have 20 healthy bodies that they are comfortable putting out where they could play one roster here and one roster there. So the minutes on some guys – are piling up.
Yes.
You know, as to who's going to be available when. And then you...
Which also means that we might start seeing some players, JGR, who mm-hmm. came into the game late. And,
yeah.
you know, we might see him a little bit more. But is that what the coach really wants to do? Not
yeah.
not poking at JGR, just mm-hmm. some of those bench players.
Yeah, and we saw Joey Zielinski make his he got a goal in the Open Cup. He made his first team appearance.
Yes.
Coming off the bench against Sporting KC. Is there a start in his future? And there might have to be, just because with the games they got, or maybe he gets the Open Cup start on Wednesday in Minnesota. Right.
But he's on an Open Cup spree.
Yeah.
He's on
a so it's, but yeah, how many times can you, whether it's Hartle or Toyert or Klaus or these guys, how often, they need breaks in there sometime.
Right.
And talked about this with Melberg before the Kansas City game, which is that, the team is having trouble finishing, and we've talked about that, but it's everybody. It's not that Marcel Hartle is having a tough time or Cedric Torrey is having a tough time. Everybody is having a tough time. There is nobody right now. Simon Boettcher is not coming through. And you watch a game and you see chances and you could say, boy, they needed to approach that differently. They needed to, and some of them, that was a bad shot. It's not like we've seen a lot of great goalie saves in all this.
No.
There hasn't been a guy standing on his head making spectacular saves.
I think there was one shot where the goalie did make like a fingertip save on it. But no, the shots are flying well wide or well high or both.
Or the shots don't get off. They get it into the box. And
Klaus will so often get into the box and try to get around a defender, and just his touch is too heavy, or he doesn't quite get around the defender and they're able to clear it. And it's not, and it happens with Boettcher as well, where you see them run into traffic instead of getting clear.
Yeah, and sometimes you say a quicker shot because the defense closes down. So, okay, there's a window. The window's not getting opener, it's getting closeder.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it closes pretty quickly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That last time was the difference between being literate and being not literate. So there are so many things, and when you're looking for the perfect thing, and that can be a sign of, doubt or hesitancy.
Confidence, I just need one more step to get this out. Oh, I touched it too hard and it went straight to the defender. You definitely see some confidence issues on the field, which, again, it's part of this bigger problem.
Yeah. And that was something about the Wednesday game, which it looked like they were going to get the breaks. That second goal.
Oh, the second goal, which it was a total shock when it actually landed across the goal line in the net. It was, he tipped it, and now it's going to go. Wait, it didn't. It went in.
Cedric Toyert literally trying to get out of the way of the shot, and it hits his foot and caroms high in the air and over the goalie's head and into the net.
And Pompeu's shot may have been one of the few that was just chef's kiss.
It was a
beautiful
shot,
wonderful goal.
Yeah. It's the kind of shot where you take that shot 20 times and maybe that's the one that goes in. But it was beautifully struck and curves wonderfully inside.
Yeah.
And it
was,
we've made it the clubhouse leader right now in best goal of the season by City SC, edging out Leuven's free kick,
which was from a remarkably similar position, location, if I remember right. I have to go back and watch it again but my memory says it was a similar, but off a free kick, which is why I think Pompeu's is edging it out.
Yeah,
personally.
So this, what are their, and the players, as we know, aren't changing. We're past the transfer window. These are the guys you got, and so they got to get the best out of these. And yeah, clearly we haven't seen them put their best 11 on the field.
Right. And that is, Melberg and others have been pointing at the injuries. And they were plagued by injuries last year as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, clearly injuries have impacted the lineups and the play on the field.
Yeah.
So there is a light at the end of the tunnel in that respect, that mm-hmm. some of those injured players, those key players, as mm-hmm. you've said, are coming back to practice. And so mm-hmm. hopefully soon stepping back onto mm-hmm. the game day field too.
Yeah. But at the same time, getting these guys back is no guarantee that there will not be other injuries down the line. Because we saw Giannis Horn get hurt. You know, we didn't see him get hurt, but he got hurt in practice on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Had to miss the game. We're not sure of his status for Saturday. And so, you know, it's not like everyone's going to get healthy and then they will be fine the rest of the year.
Right, right.
I mean, things are going to happen as the season progresses. And if they don't have any injuries, congratulations. You've finally pulled the ace out of the deck. But they are not.
And if they don't have any injuries, they pulled the ace out of the deck. And they still keep having these same issues, not necessarily the losses, but the late goals and some of these offensive issues that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. What's happening then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen with Milburgh. I mean, if this streak goes on, I don't know. You know, right now the crush of games is probably working in his favor because they've just been too busy to be able to make a change.
Right.
You know, and so maybe once they get through this, and there's a week coming up, I think, before the San Jose game, that maybe it happens there. By the way, we should note that Milburgh actually didn't coach the last game.
Oh, yes. That's right.
His assistant, as Rudan Valentich, who I hadn't really thought about it, who's Bosnian.
Yeah.
But he's been Melberg's right-hand man going back to their Sweden days. But ironically, or coincidentally, this is a coincidence rather than an irony, that he's Bosnian. So mm-hmm. he's the perfect guy for here. But Milburgh had picked up his third yellow card on the sideline. And it was the kind of thing that had they won that game in the first game that he's not on the sideline, that was the kind of thing that probably wouldn't have, you know, doesn't.
Doesn't look
that. People will make jabs at that and poke the bear.
Of course it happened when Milburgh wasn't. Yeah.
Not that he was, you know.
And he wasn't able, you noted at the 90 minutes before the game. He couldn't be in the locker room. He couldn't be on the field level.
Mm. Couldn't be in the bench area.
Right. He couldn't. What was it? He couldn't speak.
Then could not have any contact with the team until the referees were in their locker room after the game.
Yeah.
So, which is when the game, in general, when the referees leave the field is when the game is over. That's when they have no more authority over.
They can't give out another yellow card.
Can't give out yellow cards at that point. at that point, you saw when Cincinnati's Matt Miazga tried to get into their dressing room, supposedly, that's when it becomes a matter for other authorities at that stage, but not the referees at that point.
Yeah.
I think a fine comes with that, but he misses three games. He had to watch from on high. He missed one game because he got three yellow cards. I would clarify, let's not trip over my words. So he's back. So, yeah, there's a lot of games coming up. They're going to play six games in 3 weeks. And then once they get past the Colorado game next Saturday, then there's a break and mm-hmm. there's a little time to catch their breath. And we'll see where this team stands there. They're not that far out of a playoff spot.
They're still in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel that way.
No, it does not feel that way.
Right. And it doesn't feel that way looking at the games coming up. As you just said, they're still in a playoff spot, but looking at the games coming up, oof.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny, they could beat Minnesota and they'd be in the final eight. They'd beat Minnesota in the Open Cup and they'd be in the final eight of the Open Cup, which would, you know, okay, that would be something.
It would be something, but it would only add to the schedule congestion.
But at this point in time, is this a team that you say, boy, the Open Cup is their best chance for having success with this season?
I don't know that you and I can point to that unless they win the next Open Cup game,
mm-hmm.
and then we can say, hey, maybe there's something here, because it's happened before.
Open Cup is it's a weird bird because teams put various levels of value on it, and this year where the league's best teams are not in the Open Cup because they're in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And even for teams that are struggling, they're like, you know, if you're on the playoff line, like, okay, we need to win this game to be in the playoffs. But would City get into a point where, well, look, at this point, we're going to put our best guys on the field for the Open Cup game because we could, you know, advance to the Open Cup final. We could win a trophy.
We could do better there than we are doing.
Doing there. Is the potential payoff, you know, the $1 million bonus you get, whatever it is for winning the thing, is that worth more?
Well, that and also bringing, it would be the 10th, 11th?
11th, I believe.
Bringing yet another Open Cup trophy back to St. Louis. Is it a traveling trophy? Is there
no,
a cup?
No, yeah, I think you get to keep it.
So Cutis probably has some down at on their grab.
I don't know where they.
I think they might be.
They might.
We might have to take a field trip. Tom.
Field trip to look at the Cutis.
And then you and I can walk through the cemetery that's right there. It's kind of nice.
Which cemetery is that?
Cutis is across from, I think, Sunset Gardens.
Oh, okay, all right. I was wondering if it's.
It's not St. Peter and Paul.
Okay. It's there are relatives in various cemeteries around town. I was wondering if that was one of them.
Cemetery walking, for those who don't follow my Instagram, is one of the hobbies I have. Take from that what you will. I'm not a morbid person, but it's fun.
My parents, the cemetery they are buried in, mm-hmm. in Southern California, I always would locate my mother's grave because it's three rows away from Chuck Connors, the Rifleman and fame. He's right nearby.
Does he have a more distinctive tombstone?
No. But there is a picture of him with you know, and it's the Rifleman on his gravestone. Yeah, it's there's no tombstone.
They're all flat.
But it's all flat.
Gotcha.
That for ease of care. And it's actually the same cemetery where Bob Hope. He has a much more elaborate thing. He's got kind of a
mausoleum.
Yeah. I don't know what counts as a mausoleum, but he's got an above ground, thing there.
Gotcha.
Anyway, and then ironically, at the there's a cemetery. My mother's in the Catholic cemetery.
Yeah.
And then across the street is the Jewish cemetery.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where Groucho Marx is.
Fun.
So Bob Hope and Groucho Marx are really in close proximity there in the North San Fernando Valley. So if you're ever out, for whatever reason, you might be out in that neck of the woods.
I probably would want to go on a cemetery walk.
You would want to go there. Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a great one to walk through.
You know, I was just looking at goals scored by City lately. Back to soccer, mm-hmm. yeah. I was saying, you know, the flip side of that is that they're starting to allow more goals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in their last four MLS games, it's been 2-2, 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's 10, of which 8 have been in the last, you know, after the 70th minute. And another one was in, like, the 60th minute. So mm-hmm. there's been, like, one first-half goal. So that this used to be, you know, a team that was up there for not allowing goals.
Yeah.
And they are allowing goals. And it's your Berkey's back. Again, we've said this before. It wasn't Ben Lunt's problem.
Right. No.
But and you know the three center backs, you know, and it's been, you know, it's been Baumgartel and Yarrow and Hebert, I think Horn was in there in one of those games.
Right.
And you know, if ultimately that's probably not the preferred three, but that's they've been there a lot. I mean, Yarrow and Hebert have played every game.
Right. In that, I mean, they've played every game and they're entering a stretch where they're playing a lot of games in rapid succession. Mm-hmm. And in that case, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's many soccer players who can play mm-hmm. full 90 at that pace.
Yeah.
And keep it up.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a player issue. Yeah. That's a lineup issue.
Yeah. Though it was funny, the Milberg was saying yesterday, well, actually, I played, you know, I played in a lot of times like that, where I played a lot of games. As I, you know, but I think we can say the playing level between Olaf Milberg at his prime and, you know, Josh Arrow or Kyle Hebert or Timo Baumgartel or almost anybody on the team, but are at a different level.
Different.
I mean, Melberg had a long career in the Premier League, yes. You know, the world's top league. And so, you know, yes, okay, you know, but, you know, these, you know.
Not necessarily apples and oranges.
Oranges, yeah.
But Red Delicious to Johnson. Apples.
Yeah, that like kind of, yeah.
With Red Delicious being at the bottom of that. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much for that.
Clarification.
Yeah. Because Red Delicious. Not,
are the worst apples.
Yeah. A really overrated apple.
Completely.
Yeah.
The only thing that's good about them is that they, you know, when you put enough wax on the outside of them, they last for a long time.
Long time.
And that's why they're so available.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was kind of a Gala guy.
Maybe it might be a Gala. Last decently. Gala. And they're not bad.
Yeah, I like Gala. That was my choice of apple. For those who are, if we ever get an apple as a sponsor, I could read that promo and say, "Hi, I'm Tom Timmerman, and I love a good Gala apple."
We're not doing promos.
We're not doing promos.
No, even for Gala apples.
Well, if someone asks, if someone asks,
the preferences are noted.
I once had. A talk I would give to groups that involved like about 20 different kinds of apples. So that was my props for the talk had to do with lots of apples.
We're gonna move on.
Yeah, we're gonna move on.
Okay, no. What was the talk about?
Is Minnesota coming up twice?
No. What was the talk about?
Oh,
because it wasn't about apples.
It was not about it. Apples were a metaphor,
right.
But we'll talk about it off microphone.
Okay. All right. Very well.
Anyway.
And meanwhile, if you have a guess as to what the talk was about, send an email.
I don't know our audience. There may be some out there who heard my apple.
Oh, there could be.
Heard my apple talk.
Yeah.
So this is a challenging time for City SC, and they need to get wins, and they at this point in time will take any win in any form against any opponent that's in an MLS game.
They did win the Open Cup game, but it doesn't count.
They did not parlay that into any momentum that turned into greater success in MLS play. Maybe if they beat Minnesota Wednesday in the Open Cup, maybe that's something. But I think Minnesota's last Open Cup game, they played a lot of youngsters.
If they beat Minnesota, but then that a true bounce requires them to turn around and beat them again.
Yes.
So. Yes. Not
the dead cat bounce. Yeah. I have never given a talk which had 20 dead cats. That would have been quite the props to have.
Very
anyway,
stinky.
We'll be back next week. And for Beth, for producer Ali Shallert, I feel as though we're just rewinding the same podcast here, but something's got to give at some point, and we're looking forward to that day when there's something new and entertaining to talk about. Thank you all for listening. Support local journalism. Subscribe. More stuff in print. All sorts of things happening. Shout out to Eli Hoff, who will be on the scene in Minneapolis, or in St. Paul, I should say, at Allianz Field on Saturday for the story. Best of luck to him. And to all of you out there, thanks for listening. Until next week, be seeing you.